attention to the population of the BNG Nation. Thank you for being here on this wonderful Tuesday. This will be one of our later podcasts. It's currently 4 o'clock, really central time. So yeah, this will be coming out a little bit later. Same thing happened with our last week's episode. Speaking of last week's episode, we do not have any guests today. Boo-hoo. I really want them to come on. I plan on expanding the BNG brand even more. But yeah, I really enjoyed last week's podcast. If you're listening to this now, I strongly recommend you check out that last week's podcast and give me some feedback. I love feedback from everyone. Just check that out because it was a great time with my friend Colin. I want to expand. I want to bring more people on. And if you're interested in coming on to the BNG brand or just coming to talk about sports with me or just life, send me a DM on Twitter. I used to shout out the Twitter all the time. But you can check me out at Olson Cody on Twitter. I follow back. I respond to everyone that comments, that reaches out to me. And I really appreciate the involvement in the community of just sports and just community of human life. I just enjoy interaction. And that's why I love making this podcast for you guys every single week. Speaking about every single week commitment, we got the Pulse Podcast Network. Pulse Podcast Network is a great group of guys, and I'm not totally sure, but you know, we could be looking for a female podcaster. That'd be a great thing to have within the Pulse Podcast Network. We have a wide variety of subjects such as sports, wrestling, just daily life, city related talk shows. It's really a great place to go if you're interested in a new podcast. We have an app that is up on the Google Play Store and iTunes, so you can check them out. I unfortunately am not on that app because, as I said previously, I'm cheap. I don't want to spend $2 a month, even though I should. But yeah, I'm not on that, but you can check out some other big name podcasts we have on the Pulse Podcast Network. It'll be a great place for you guys to expand your horizons on what podcast you listen to. But regardless, I am glad that you are here with BNG. Any platform you're listening on, I appreciate it. And you tickle my heart on this Valentine week. Valentine week is my favorite. Thank you guys so much. That was a little excessive. But maybe some feedback. Do you guys enjoy that? I just feel like that's weird. I actually steal that. Sure, we'll open up to that guy for you guys. Start up a conversation. I actually kind of take that from Leon Lush. He's on YouTube. He's a great YouTuber that kind of like opens your eyes to just media content, what's going on, what's wrong, what's right, how we should react as consumers. He's a great YouTuber, so I strongly recommend you check him out. I was trying to piggyback on his, like, he comes up with extremely creative, like, oh, I appreciate you guys so much. And it's really creative, and I wish I could adapt that. Maybe I'll work on that. But check him out. That's where I get my influence. Like I said, we don't have a guest today. And I kind of wrote this script thinking I was going to get a guest. But the two guys I were talking to, it just couldn't work out. They have busy schedules. And they're not on that podcast commitment like I am. So it'll just be me. We're just going to talk about relevant news. This isn't even necessarily Minnesota news. We have a little bit of conversation at the end about that, but the main topic I want to, you know, speak to you about is the AFL. The AFL was quite a buzz this weekend, specifically Saturday and Sunday, and this is the Alliance of American Football. Now, what this is providing football for the average American who still craves football after the Super Bowl, and I think from what we've seen, from the viewership we had over the weekend, people still want to watch football. Now, this isn't professionals. I mean, this is a professional-associated football league, but this isn't the top of the line. They're, you know, I can safely say they're professionals, and it's not as talented. You don't know the names of, like, any of the players. I have a list of some that you might recognize. But regardless, football is football. And I think that's why everyone just enjoys watching college football, high school football. People just enjoy the sport. So why not have more football after the Super Bowl? I think it's a wonderful idea. Just to familiarize some of you with the AAF, because, I mean, a lot of people might not be familiar with players or coaches. I wrote down a couple for some team, for some teams. They have eight total teams. Steve Spurrier, coach for South Carolina in college football, I believe. He's coaching for the Orlando Apollos. For the San Antonio Commanders, they have former Minnesota Gophers back, David Cobb. He was also a running back for the Tennessee Titans for a year or two, maybe. I'm not totally sure about that. For a year, definitely. But yeah, Minnesota, you know, we're a Minnesota podcast. Minnesota Gopher back. So I guess I was interested in watching San Antonio just for David Cobb. Brigham Iron has Trent Richardson, and I believe this is the biggest name that they have, in my opinion. Trent Richardson had an amazing rookie year. I think his second year was even pretty good. And then he just fell off the map. He disappeared from the NFL. He had a stint in Indianapolis, but it never turned out to be what he was his rookie season. And he's around there, and it's just generating a lot of hype for the AAF. And the Brigham Iron are probably very happy to have him because I think they might be the team to watch considering they have Trent Richardson. Moving on to the next team, we have Memphis Express. They have Christian Hackenberg. You definitely recognize his name. Former Penn State quarterback and former New York Jets quarterback. I think there's a stat where he has never led a professional touchdown drive. And that still continues in the AAF. He had a terrible week one. We'll see how things progress with him. But if you can't do it against the majority of these guys, I'm just in awe on how he started in the NFL. Probably just the lack of like quarterbacks on that team. But regardless, it did not look pretty for him. Another Minnesota god is on the Salt Lake Stallions, and that's Matt Asiata. He was a running back, back in 2015? Or was it 2016? Yeah, 2016. He split the carries with Jerick McKinnon while Sam Bradford was, you know, trying to be a quarterback for us, and clearly that didn't work out. But, yeah, we had him, but now he's on the Salt Lake Stallions, and I'm interested to watch just to see who he is now. I don't remember him ever being a bad back in the NFL. So I'm actually interested to see what happens with him. We have another Minnesota god on the Arizona Hotshots. I don't have it. Oh my goodness. You guys should see this. I have another Minnesota god on the Arizona Hotshots. Nothing. So I have no content to give you in that situation. It might have, that's who it is. It was our punter, Jeff Locke. If you guys ever remember Jeff Locke, he was actually really good in the NFL. I have no clue how he's not signed to a team. He had a great season with the Minnesota Vikings. And I specifically remember being upset that we got rid of him. And he's in the AAF. Oh, we should re-sign him. I don't think our punter is that great right now. I mean, sign him back, and who knows? Maybe we got ourselves a team. Maybe he can be the next Johnny Hecker, throw a couple more passes, and Kirk Cousins. Who knows? Not that I'm a Cousins hater. We get into that later in the podcast. Just saying, so stick around. The San Diego Fleet have nobody on their team. I went up and down their team. I'm sure there's NFL experience, but there's really nobody of relevance I could think of. Even their coaches, I had no idea. And of course, the most important thing on this list, dog beater himself, Michael Vick, on the Atlanta Legends, which is even more funny considering he beat animals while he was on the Atlanta Falcons. So I'm sure they're really nostalgic of what happened back then. But I was going to ask, like, who's your favorite team? I mean, feel free to DM me or just shout me out on Twitter and say, this is my favorite team. They're my favorite team, and why? If I had to decide a favorite team, I have no clue. It's really tough. It might be, okay, hear me out. Steve Spurrier's Orlando Apollos, they looked really good. I actually really enjoyed San Antonio Commanders quarterback His last name's like Woodside. It might be Danny Woodside. Or am I thinking of Danny Woodhead? I don't know. It's Woodside something, but he's like the Baker Mayfield of the AAF. I don't know why. I just had some weird feeling about him. I actually think my actual comparison was Johnny Manziel instead of Baker Mayfield. But regardless, he was fun to watch. I really enjoyed watching the AAF, and I'm interested. I'm willing to watch this weekend, next weekend, just because I want to see what plays out. Who emerges as a star? Who emerges as just a bust? I mean, I think that's why we're interested in the NFL, because one, okay, it might be home teams, but also who's going to be good? Who's going to be bad? I think that interests us other than the football, because we just see stars emerge, and it's a wonderful thing to see, and you honestly get a great spectacle. Now, the question of will this AAF be successful? I'm not sure, but the first week sure has promising signs. I think this could be something that lasts for a couple of years, but unfortunately, I just have this feeling that it won't last forever. Eventually, we're going to get tired of it. Unless they get more established people, unless they really establish who the stars are, then maybe they can exist. But if there isn't like established stars, I don't see how they can, you know, compete with major brands. Now, I know this isn't to replace the NFL. This is just to, you know, essentially it's a money grab. But I think it can exist for a while. Now, speaking of the AFF, I can't even say it, AAF, we also got to talk about the XFL. Now, the thing about the XFL is more of a show rather than football, from my understanding of the XFL. So we'll see what happens with that. I mean, people might eat that up because it's more violent, but AAF actually doesn't have any contact rules. They don't have any roughing the passer rules. And you should see the San Antonio Commander just put on the, what's their names? Who did they, San Diego Fleet's quarterback. One of their players just racked up a dude. It was impressive. It was fun. And it was like, wow, I haven't seen this in so long without there being a penalty. It was cool. I enjoyed it. And we'll see what the XFL does with, you know, contact rules. Are they going to follow like a football format and just be completely violent? Or are they going to make it like a game show? I'm interested in both. So we will see what the future is for these off-brand football leagues. But I'm interested, and I think they might have hit on something pretty productive. All right, jumping ships. We're going to the NFL. I know we talked about the minor brands, I guess. We have some football news, and that would be Kareem Hunt to the Cleveland Browns. Very interesting, very shocking to a lot of people. And I mean, I was shocked as well, but also I'm not necessarily surprised. We've seen Cleveland do something similar to this last year, and that would be the signing of Carlos Hyde and then suddenly drafting Nick Chubb. A lot of people were confused, but it worked out on both ends. Now, there's some relevance to this signing, and there's on three different levels. I went football, fantasy, and social. We'll start with football, and that is it deepens their backfield. I compared this to the Pittsburgh situation. Cleveland had a great year running the ball with separate running backs this year. Carlos Hyde had a great start of the season, and Nick Chubb finished the season super strong. What's his name? Duke Johnson Jr. had an okay year. He is a scat back. He's not necessarily a rusher, more of a catcher. I think he has a role, but after the signing, I do feel like he gets cut. There isn't a use for him, considering Kareem Hunt can, you know, catch the football, I suppose, rather than Nick Chubb isn't necessarily known for, you know, catching the ball. I compare this to Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh had Le'Veon Bell, you know, arguably the best back in the league, and they replaced him with James Conner, who succeeded on many, many levels. And once James Conner got hurt, Jalen Samuels came in and, you know, produced great numbers. So I think overall, this could be a good idea. They got Kareem Hunt for super cheap because he's a woman beater, and that's a terrible thing. I will get to that on social relevance. But if he stay, if he gets, I think the correct term is if he gets reinstated, I think we could have a possibly good back on our, you know, on our minds, on our fantasy rosters, and we'll transition into that in a second. And last week I said Kareem Hunt was going to be my MVP. Who knows? Maybe he will be. I mean, that'll be interesting to see how he produces there. I do think they did Nick Chubb dirty. It bothers me a little bit considering how productive he was. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, let's add Kareem. I guess it's just deepening your team and just improving all around. Transitioning to fantasy relevance, Hunt is the back to own if he's in this league. Hunt is the back to own if he's in this league. He's a great talent. He's an amazing talent. And I hate saying this about him because I got to hold on to it because of the social relevance. But he's the back to own. He could arguably be a top 10 back if he's in the league for the entire year. But from what we learned this year with Le'Veon Bell, Chubb must be rostered. You have to have Chubb on your team if you're drafting Kareem Hunt because it could be the Le'Veon Bell situation. Not directly, but in a similar fashion where Hunt is on the team, but he just never plays the entire year because Goodell won't reinstate him. Rightfully so, but we never know. So Chubb must be on a roster because if Hunt doesn't play this year, Chubb will be a top 10 back. I'm willing to say that with complete confidence. He has a great offensive line, and given a 16-week workload in 2018, he would have looked nice. Social relevance, teams don't care about domestic abuse, and it's sickening, but it's almost the fans' fault. We forgive these NFL players far too easily for these terrible things that happen. And it's just what we want. We value winning over morals of a team. And I can't sit up here and tell you that's what I think. I like to win. I like to win. I forget, you know, when Adrian Peterson was on our team, I forgot Adrian Peterson abuses his child. I forgot about that. I forgot about issues that the Vikings had. I just exclude it because we're winning. And that's what I mainly care about. It's a terrible thing. It's a terrible, terrible thing. And I'm ashamed that as a fan, I appreciate winning over ethics. But, I mean, I guess that's how the league is. And it's unfortunate, but that's just what happens. Kareem should not be in this league, but he is. So I can't knock on the Cleveland Browns for doing this. But I just wish there was a better mindset about this. Instead of just accepting it for what it was, we just need to keep people like this out of our league. But that's what it is, unfortunately. Trickling down to more Minnesota stuff, I have to throw in a conversation about Nick Foles to the Minnesota Vikings. Now, NFL is kind of dry right now, especially for the Minnesota Vikings, considering we haven't been relevant for over a month and a half now. There was a conversation with Max Kepperman. That's what I think it is. He said on First Take that Nick Foles would be a great fit in either the New York Giants program or the Minnesota Vikings program. And I can't help but disagree, but my answer to this is no. We have preached continuity for this entire offseason. We brought back, Kevin Stefanski. This is Zimmer's first second-year quarterback in his five-year tenure, which should just increase continuity. And there's talk all the time around the league is to have a successful team, you just have to keep the organization around you. You have to keep it centralized. I mean, you can see that with New England, where they've had Belichick and Brady their entire careers, and look at what they've done. They've won 6 Super Bowls. So we'll see what happens with that. I think it is an attractive idea for Minnesota Vikings fans, and there could be a conversation in the future about it, but I think it's frightening. there's a history with Nick Foles where he is only successful in Philadelphia. St. Louis Rams, back when they were in St. Louis, thought he was going to be the next thing, and he suffered. He did terrible, and then he went to Kansas City, didn't even get any starting time, and he proceeded to want to retire. He was convinced out of it, and then, of course, you know the story. He won Super Bowl 52, and now he's this big deal. I'm scared of it. I think this could be a bizarre situation where he is only good in one city. I'd be open to the idea, but the three-year plan is with Cousins. My ultimate idea is, if it works, it works. We really only have a three-year period to be contenders in the Super Bowl. As far as the foreseeable future, I don't know. I don't know what our idea is after Kirk Cousins, but I don't think the solution now is Nick Foles. As I said previously, I'm okay with us drafting a quarterback just so we can develop him and maybe he can be the future after Kirk Cousins. Maybe Kirk Cousins develops a teaching role and he performs as a quarterback and also performs as a teacher or mentor. I think that would be okay. But as far as what we want right now, we have to stick with Cousins in 2019. It just has to happen. It would totally just make this previous year happened again. We would have issues on our offense. Defense would get worn out in some games. That's just what we're going to have to deal with, and we have to accept it as Minnesota Vikings fans. Last topic today is definitely the Minnesota Timberwolves trade deadline. Nothing happened, and I'm okay with that. We're in an awkward scenario where we're in no position to add a piece, and we're in no position to subtract a piece. I understand somebody could be like, you're never not in a position to make a move or subtract from your team, but I don't think we are. We just have to accept this is a losing season, but we have reasons to be excited for the future. I love the idea of bringing back Ryan Saunders. I think guys can develop, such as Karl-Anthony Towns, even though he is already an all-star. I think the idea of more time with Ryan Saunders and Andrew Wiggins could be something productive for Andrew Wiggins. Rocco and Dario Saric, I think, are the future of this organization. Rocco has the leadership and Dario has the potential. I just like the projection of this team. Now, don't get me wrong. We're not winning any championships, but I don't think it will be a long wait period before we hit the playoffs again. I would fully expect us to make the playoffs in 2020. I don't think that's a bold statement. I just think that's just logical thinking with one continuity and development of players. That's what I can hope for. I'm really optimistic for this team, and I'm okay that it's a losing season. I'm not heartbroken because I didn't have big expectations because Jimmy Butler had to be... We won't talk about that. He had a spoiler party. That's my takes on the Minnesota Timberwolves. I know I'm not Minnesota Timberwolves like verse. I don't watch them every single game, but I pay close attention and I care about this team. I care about the Minnesota community, and I feel like I'm letting fans down not talking about the Minnesota Wild as much, but next year I'm going in on the Minnesota Wild. And hopefully this spring we can get some Minnesota Twins action just to be in season and touch on some bases because I love Minnesota. I love talking about it with you all. That has been the podcast. First, we want to sum up that I'm grateful that you guys are here. I'm grateful for the Pulse Podcast Network. And I definitely want to let you guys know for sure in the future, plan for more guests. I had a great time doing that with other people and it just felt natural having a conversation. For any of you that don't know about a podcast, it's a little difficult doing it by yourself. I like it. I can talk to myself. I enjoy talking to myself. But as far as doing it alone, sometimes it feels a little awkward because you're not having a conversation. I'm currently looking at an audio bar going up and down, up and down, up and down as I speak. And that's just who I'm having a conversation to. I'd love to have a conversation with you guys on Twitter, but sometimes that doesn't happen, but that's okay. Regardless, I'm thankful that you guys are here. And if you made it to the end, more props to you. Check out the Pulse Podcast Network because they're a great group of guys. And I appreciate you listening to BNG. And I will see you next week, baby.